Alrighty, welcome to Connections. I'm Rick Moore, along with Bill Newell, and we have made it to the end of May safely, thank goodness. A lot to talk about today in Connections. Pretty good show coming up. We'll talk about some things going on in the area. Talk about some college help, particularly from North Shore Community College. And also, we're going to be checking in with the Vice President of the Greater Newburyport Chamber of Commerce, Mark Yannicello. He's got a couple of really interesting things to point out, and one of them is actually mentioned today in the Newburyport Daily News. So looking forward to that. And, as always, we have Bill Newell. Hi, Bill.
Hey, hey, Rick. How are you?
Actually, pretty good. I'm enjoying the humid, sticky weather. How about you?
No, I'm not complaining either. This is nice. A little cloud cover, a little humidity, a little warmth. Nice. Not bad. I'm not complaining at all.
Yeah. And, you know, in talking with people, I think there's a little bit more optimism in the air. And again, Bill, as I go out and about, I'm seeing, I do see masks when you go into a store, face coverings and stuff like that. But I think it's generally 50-50 when I'm outside. Have you noticed that?
Well, I think I still see a lot of masks outside. To me, I'm not worried. If you're walking all by yourself, you know, that's fine. I mean, that's the guidance that we have. If you're 10 feet apart, that's fine. But I still see a lot of folks with masks and so on. And so I think that's still a very good sign. Hey, a couple of other things. Speaking of things changing, I was watching the TV news this morning, and the traffic has picked up. So now the Southeast Expressway coming from the South Shore, they're now slowdowns. So for months now, we have not had slowdowns in morning traffic. Yesterday I was out. I ventured out, and there are construction delays. And I sat in two construction delays yesterday. So now that's the good news. There's construction. But on the other hand, there are delays, and there's allegedly not a lot of people out now. But I think that, you know, I felt that the numbers were up yesterday when I was out driving around from what they were maybe for sure 2 weeks ago. So,
well, a week ago, I had to go to Logan Airport to drop my daughter off to fly back down to, actually, she went down to North Carolina, then back to Philadelphia. But she's coming home again this weekend, and I've got to drive up to Logan, actually down to Logan from Cape Ann. I've got to go down to Logan this evening around 7:30-ish. So I'll file a traffic report at that time. We'll see what it's like. But I'm hoping it's and you know, the airport, it was weird. The airport was empty. The first time I flew at Logan Airport, Bill, are you sitting down, was in 1958. And we flew from Boston to LaGuardia in DC Constellation, an Eastern Airlines Constellation four-engine plane. One of the engines went out, by the way, on the way down to New York. But there was just one building at Logan Airport that time, and that building is still there. You can find it if you look hard for it. It looks like a great big giant, not a big giant, but it's a small two-story, looks like almost like a ranch house, and it's still there. But that's what it reminded me of. There was nobody at the airport last Friday.
And, you know, you talk to people, and you're in places, and there just are not a lot of people around, in major cities, that New York City, streets in Boston and so on. It's just a totally different atmosphere. So we're not telling anybody anything new that they didn't already know, I suppose. But I have a feeling that's all beginning to change. But I'm thinking you still might be won't be too bad with the trip into Boston, I'm thinking.
Did you have a story this morning? I can't remember. It's so long ago now. On a beach closing in Beverly?
Yeah, there's a small beach near Lynch Park, and they apparently had too many people there the other day, and so they closed it down. And I know they continue to have the traffic barrels up along Lynn Shore Drive and so on. There's still no parking at the Lynn Beach, which is the long beach that goes out to Nahant. They haven't opened up that parking lot yet, so that beach certainly isn't crowded as well, but we'll see. I think, what do we have weather-wise? I mean, it's, we had the one big beach day, which was, you know, really before Memorial Day weekend. But, you know, nowadays the days don't matter. You know what I mean? For most people, you know what I'm saying? So,
it's not like the kids
weren't in school. You know what I mean? So it's not like they're tied up till 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever. So, yeah. So,
well, the thing I feel bad about is a place like Good Harbor Beach in Gloucester, Wingersheek Beach in Gloucester, they're open only to residents, which makes the residents really happy. But I know a lot of people come in come in from Lynn. They come in from the inner areas on a weekend. They go to Stage Ford Park to picnic and get by the seaside. A lot of people go to Good Harbor Beach who, you know, on a weekend who otherwise can't do it. And the beaches are going to be closed to non-residents for I don't know how long, but they are now. So I feel bad about that.
Yeah, well, that's the story. We'll see how it all plays out. You mentioned, we're almost all the way through May here, which is amazing, I think. And June is about to bust out all over again. I think I don't know what Broadway show that was from, but June is busting out all over. We'll get that up next week, maybe. So there you go.
So now I'm going to have to Google that and figure it out. Why did you do that to me, Bill?
I don't know. I'm sorry. Yeah. So Connections continues just ahead here on MSONewsSports.com.
Welcome back now, Mark Yanishillo, who is the vice president of the Greater Newburyport Chamber of Commerce. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks, Rick. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on the phone here. And with all that's been going on, it's been, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks since we talked last. And, of course, a lot has transpired. Over that time, businesses have closed. There's been a lot of wringing of hands. People have lost jobs. But on the other hand, things are starting to get a little bit better as we progress here. So maybe just a general overview on how the Chamber and you view things up there in Newburyport in terms of maybe getting the reopening underway or even, you know, what your reflections are on those businesses that have closed.
Sure. So we're pretty fortunate. We haven't had anybody that has come out and said that they're permanently closing yet. Newburyport overall is such a diverse community with the different businesses we have. So we are known for the restaurants and the retailers that are downtown. They've all kind of switched gears, done online, curbside pickup. The restaurants have started doing delivery. But we also have an enormous business park, and they've still been operating full steam ahead. There's plenty of jobs to be had out there if any of your listeners are looking. A lot of manufacturing, warehouse, some sales and account executive jobs out there. But, you know, since this whole thing hit, we've been working hand-in-hand with the SBA, the local banks, to try and get these businesses the resources they need. So Frank, who's the president of the chamber, myself, have talked to well over 300 businesses of all sizes and in all different industries to help them navigate through this. So from the chamber perspective, I don't think we've ever probably been busier, which is good. And it definitely helped a lot of these guys, I think, make it through to the other side, or on their way to the other side at this stage of the game. Most of them are still waiting for phase two to come in. There's a lot of confusion as to how the governor came up with his phases. You know, specifically, one of our retailers is a jeweler, and he is able to maintain social distancing a lot better than a barber or a hair salon would. So there's been a lot of frustrations expressed from our membership as to the way the phases were reopened.
Well, I know that Sheriff Cousins and you have been working on this, and I find it interesting. A couple of things here. First of all, a quick comment on the jewelry thing. My daughter recently became engaged down in Philadelphia. And
congratulations.
Thank you. We're very happy. A great young man is her fiancé. But she wanted to get her ring resized, so she went to a jeweler in Philadelphia, and, of course, they closed the next day, and they've been closed ever since. So she hasn't been able to get her ring back. So I'm going to pass that story along. But on the other hand, Mark, it seems to me that the chamber's role has transitioned as well, and maybe I'm over-reading this, but it seems that you guys have all of a sudden become a clearinghouse for much more information than perhaps you ordinarily would be.
Yeah, I would say that's a fair assessment. So we've always had good working relationships with the SBA through some of their various business counseling programs. They do a lot with small business. They have SCORE, which is a small business counseling, is under them. We did a lot of work with Mass Hire, which is the unemployment office, kind of renamed and reworked. So we had a lot of great connections that were already there. So as this thing progressed, we were able to be in contact and get probably some of the best up-to-date information out there before a lot of other sources got it.
That makes sense. Tremendous. Now, reopening is on the minds of everyone. I actually got my first haircut in I don't know, 3 months, I guess, yesterday, and it
awesome.
felt great. I didn't know my ears were so big. I forgot about that, but but you know, you learn these things. And it felt great to get out. The new reality of wearing a face covering, don't enjoy that too much. But they are opening now. Things are. I know that Newburyport, the mayor Holliday, like many other mayors in the region on the North Shore, have put together task forces on reopening, and so maybe a little idea as to what's going on there.
Sure. So the mayor did pretty quickly put together a task force that's comprised of Frank and I from the chamber. There's various people from the city, both employees. City Council President Jared Eigerman is on there as well, and we've taken that task force and divvied it up amongst us into subcommittees. And the point of that is to kind of get the latest information as to what the requirements are, what the concerns are of those groups. So myself, I'm on the medical subcommittee, and we've got a variety of people. We have representation from the hospital, doctors, dentists, eye doctors, chiropractors. We've got a good spread. And they're all cautiously reopening, and adjusting to kind of that new normal. But the major concern for them, which is interesting, is the availability of PPE.
Mm-hmm.
So it was already hard enough to obtain it just when it was the hospitals that were looking for it. So now that everybody is required to have masks, gowns, gloves, everything that you need to protect yourself, the shortages are even worse now. And unfortunately, a lot of what these guys need in order to function, it's not the homemade masks or anything of that nature. They need the face-fitting N95 style, and those are in extremely short supply. And a lot of the people that they've been getting them from, the orders have been diverted by the government to go towards military and whatever else mm-hmm. their needs are.
Well, I didn't realize that. I talked with a Gloucester charter boat captain, I think it was over the weekend, and he was lamenting that very same fact that, you know, now on charter boats you've got to supply all this material, and he just doesn't know how he's going to do it. So I didn't realize that, that would cut into cut into the supply. I didn't even think of that. So, another obstacle that has to be overcome. What about, Newburyport is known for so many great restaurants, and there is some outdoor dining and so on. What's the status with all that?
So we're in the works right now. We actually had a town hall style Zoom call last night that was sponsored by the City Council President, Jared Eigerman. The City Council was there, the mayor's chief of staff. We had representation from retail and restaurants. There's been talk of full street closures, ultimately I think that's going to displace more people, than it would help. And the other major concern with that is it's naturally going to become just a congregation. You're not going to be able to control the crowds. You're not going to be able to maintain that social distancing. It's a lot that's going to go into it. So what we've been looking at instead of that are, taking over the parking spots, potentially taking one lane on State Street, utilizing the in-street mall and some other areas that are around town in order for these restaurants to be able to get outside and get that additional seating. If you take, we have a restaurant called Brine and another one called Paddle Inn that are next to each other, and they're small spaces. I mean, they probably, fit 35, 40 people tops anyways. So if you have to maintain 6 feet, you're going to be lucky to get six people in those restaurants. So they are going to be extremely hurt by the way that the whole plan has come out. And that's kind of what initiated this whole conversation, was spreading it into the street. People are going to feel a lot more comfortable in open air than in an enclosed space, for sure. And it's just going to allow these guys to try and hit what would be their normal capacity.
Yeah, I shake my head at some of these small places that are so well known all over the place. And you know, you cut it down to 20-25%, man, and they can't do it. So I'm hoping.
Yeah, so a lot of places that have just come out and said that they're not going to open with those kind of numbers.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be worth it for them.
They can't do it. I think the last thing I want to bring up, Mark, is the availability of all the information that you have on your website, because particularly on the COVID-19 update page, you have a lot of buttons there. You mentioned a couple of them, the SBA updates. I think you mentioned FEMA. I'm not sure. But there are so many buttons there that not only apply to the Greater Newburyport Chamber, but it also looks to me like you've got good information there for just about any business person who wants to make a connection somewhere quickly.
Yeah, we tried to kind of spread it out. And, you know, like I mentioned, we have a lot of awesome partner organizations. Associated Industries of Massachusetts is probably the largest business association in the state. They have a whole government affairs division. So we've got a couple links to their page that's in there, to the city, to the state, to the unemployment. We've got a few links in there. With a letter from the CEO of NHX Hospital, Mark Goldstein. So we try to give a good variety of things that would help the general public as well as the businesses.
I got a silly question I just thought of. Is there anybody who's approached the chamber or anybody you've heard of in town coming up with a new business opening? Anybody? Because I know there was one business somewhere in Magnolia or someplace that picked a fine time to open up. But any new businesses coming online or projected to come online?
So yeah, we actually there's a new restaurant called Vera. It's where West Row used to be, right in the Bullnose of Market Square, and he was slated to open. Couple weeks before this virus took over, and so he's, you know, he didn't want to do any of the curbside or the takeout because it's some really, really good Italian style food, and it would just get lost in translation if you're taking it home in a to-go container, you know, and that's the first impression you've ever had of the place. But he's planning to open up as soon as he's able, so it's good news, and you know, it's nice to see that people were able to ride this out. We know it wasn't easy, and it was definitely scary for a lot of these people, you know, facing the harsh reality that they may lose everything that they've worked so hard for. But we've you know, our membership numbers have stayed pretty steady. We typically will see anywhere from 10 to 12 new members a month. We're still getting three or four. Some of them are established businesses that, you know, we were able to help out through this whole crisis. So they saw the value in the chamber, because a lot of people still don't really know what a chamber does. And then we've got some other people that have been in the area. There's a new Allstate office that's getting built out on Low Street. Nikki is the owner's name. So we've got a few things that are still popping up. You know, nothing huge and major, but a couple of the small guys are popping up here and there.
So no Amazon warehouse coming in, I guess.
No, not anytime soon that we know of, anyways.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. Hey, you know what? Meetings coming up, stuff like that. I know that you've been very busy because we've been trying to connect here, and stuff is going on. I'm guessing you're doing everything on Zoom or by the phone.
Yeah, everything is pretty much on Zoom. It's been interesting. I had the opportunity to testify before the Senate on Zoom, which was a whole kind of different experience when you've got all these tiny little boxes and you're trying to make eye contact with everybody, even though they can't tell. So it's been quite the adjustment. But
you know, that's a great point. I hadn't thought of that. It's like, how the hell do you make eye contact? Because I guess if you look into the lens, then that whoever's on the other side, it looks like you're looking at them. But in the meantime, if you're looking into the lens, you don't know who you're talking to. So
right.
It's very strange.
It's definitely different.
All right. Mark, anything else you want to mention that I haven't asked you about?
No, I think we covered just about everything. I appreciate you having me on. And, you know, hopefully in a couple weeks, once we hit phase two, we can revisit and see where we're at.
Sounds great. That's the vice president of the Newburyport Chamber of Commerce, Mark Yannicello. Hold on. Let me shut off the recorder here. Boom,
sure.
Boom, 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 boom.
A daily news podcast for the North Shore, North Shore Today. North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, as we keep you connected with the North Shore.
My great pleasure now to introduce Dr. Susan Sullivan, who is the Executive Director of Financial Services at North Shore Community College. Dr. Sullivan, welcome to MSO.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, first I'd like to get started. Obviously, these are weird times with college and everything else. And North Shore has been such a big player in the community for many, many years now. And I want to talk about some of the things that are available to the kids who may be, and adults as well, who may be experiencing some troubles. But first, let me ask you about your position. What is the Department of Financial Services at North Shore? What does it entail?
We help students navigate the financial aid application process, and we also are in charge of billing, charging students for their tuition and fees and that kind of
thing. Unbelievable. Do you work with parents, too?
Yes. We primarily work with the student, but if they want to involve their parents in the conversation or in the process, they can do that as well.
Okay. Very good. Now, in particular, I guess there are two different things going on here. The CARES package or the CARES Act, what is
administration's stimulus package. So they've awarded funding to universities to help students with the added cost of moving to remote learning.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to help our students. If you were registered for the spring or the summer semester, we can help you with the added cost of maybe getting Wi-Fi, having to buy a laptop, also with food insecurities, because we used to provide a food pantry on campus. And we also had mobile food markets as well. So if students are having any financial issues, they should reach out to us and contact us.
How much has this impacted your position there? I mean, everybody has had to change to go so much more on remote learning, but I'm guessing you probably had a pretty big presence on the Internet anyway.
Yeah, we did. And we did a lot of, the students have a portal where they can access their classes and their financial aid and their bill. We were able to move online pretty quickly. It's just some of our students are not very technologically savvy and they really need that hand-holding throughout the entire process. So we're trying to do that through GChat and Zoom and things like that, so to assist them with registering and getting their financial aid in place and that kind of thing.
Can you talk me through an example of a student who might be taking advantage of this or availing themselves to the loan or to the grant, whatever it might be? Give me an example of how someone has called your office, maybe talked with you or a staff member, and said, "Okay, what do I do? How do I get help? This is what my problem has been."
Yeah. So if they're having issues with, like I said, with going remote, we have a quick online application that we have them fill out, and then we can get them. So it goes directly to the students. We can't use it for tuition charges. It's to go directly in the student. Online aid form is based on your 2018 income, and we all know that things have changed.
Ah, yeah.
We have students fill out the form and with their 2018 information, and then we ask them to submit a simple appeal form explaining their current situation so we can maximize their financial aid.
So does this have to be someone who needs financial aid to begin with, or is it someone who maybe has developed a hardship since they've been enrolled?
Yeah, exactly. Both cases. So we're trying to get the word out to those students, those potential students who maybe weren't interested in school and weren't thinking about things, but now maybe would like to change their focus and change their career. We would love to have them. We have 1 and 2 year programs so they can get back out in the workforce pretty quickly, and we can hopefully get them as much financial aid as possible.
Oh, man, I wish I'd talked to you instead of the people I had to deal with in Philadelphia. Okay, this is good. This is good. So have you had a lot of people, students checking in with you, or even prospective students?
Yes, and actually we did a big outreach. We reached out to every single student who was registered for the spring semester just to check in with them and see what was going on, let them know that our resources are available. But for those students who aren't familiar with us or, just like I said, weren't thinking about school, definitely should give us a call. We can definitely help them and get them, get them into a great program.
What's the best way to get a hold of you or to get a hold of your department and have students get more information about this?
They can check out our website so they can see what programs are available and maybe connect with an academic advisor. If they've had some schooling in the past, we maybe can take those credits and apply it to the current program. And then they can also reach out to us. They can call us or they can email us reach out to us via the website as well.
You have a lot of students who matriculate to other schools after North Shore. Particular, they go to state schools, they go to UMass or whatever. Is this process, I know it's brand new, so is this process part of getting maybe, for want of a better word, your senior kids, your second-year students who are moving on, can you help them bridge over to the next level?
Yes, we do. Our academic counselors are fantastic, and they have connections at most of the schools in the state, definitely all the state schools, and they can help you transition and transfer into a four-year program so you can get your bachelor's degree.
Tremendous.
And we also have a program called the Commonwealth Commitment. So if you start at North Shore, you get your tuition locked in at the rate for the semester you started, and then you get each semester you get a 10% rebate on your tuition and fees if you maintain a 3.0 average, and then you're guaranteed admission into the state school of your choosing.
That is so cool. That is so cool. I had so many kids who didn't know what they wanted to do after high school. And, but they wanted to keep learning and try to figure things out. They end up at North Shore, and then they go on to spectacular careers after that. So
they can come in and they can take one course. They can take two courses.
Yeah.
They can be full time. I mean, we're very flexible, and we have a lot of different alternatives.
Excellent. Excellent. And might I add, it's affordable.
We're the best deal in town.
Absolutely. All right. Dr. Sullivan, anything else that you'd like to mention maybe I didn't ask you about?
No, just that we're here to help, and please reach out to us. Take a look at our website and come talk to us if you're thinking about going to school in the fall. And even those students that maybe were thinking about going to a four-year school in September but maybe want to stick closer to home now, we definitely have alternatives for you.
Excellent. Dr. Susan Sullivan of North Shore Community College, she's the executive director of the Financial Services Department.
We close the program this way. With that warm weather out there today, I see this in today's Salem News. North Shore Little Leagues are cautiously optimistic that children may be able to play some baseball this summer. Matt Williams writes that Peabody and Beverly Little Leagues are among those looking at a late June or early July to potentially begin play. That's when Phase 3 of the state's reopening plan may begin. So that story and more in today's Salem News. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, and a special thanks to our two guests for joining us today on the program. Don't forget to check back for Connections here Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. here on the program, here on the website, msonewsports.com, and North Shore Sports Night airs Monday nights at 7 o'clock. So again, with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. It's Friday. Have a great weekend. Be safe.